You are now listening to the sexy swinging sounds of CGSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby Mountain. How's that feel, huh? Diverse? Independent? Well, it's yours. It's yours, baby. Check us out on SoundCloud or cgsf.ca. Mountain FM.
You almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sipping time.
Yes, it's sipping time again, and welcome to this Sips episode where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Well, I'm not sure about that anymore because I don't know if it's just because there's a Shark Week is coming up or they're just doing old backlogs of Shark Week documentaries, but I think we're getting beat out by sharks this week.
You're getting Justin excited when you talk about sharks.
Oh, definitely.
Look at him. He's all, you know, his fins all up and everything.
He's drooling.
Yeah. Well, this is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
You know, today it's going to be a pleasure to be in the basement.
Yeah, it doesn't stink to be
with us. Or without pants.
Please, with pants. With. Once. And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. Pleasure to be here in the basement. Thank God I brought my sunglasses. I don't have to look at Brent's see-through pants.
I wear blinders like a horse. That way I don't see left or right. And good old boy Justin.
Oh, good morning. What a pleasure to be here.
Does saran wrap count as pants?
For Brent, it does.
Yes,
well,
it does.
If you're like, you know, trying to make weight on the wrestling team, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. There's always that one kid in school, you know, wearing the garbage bag into class.
Yeah. Cut that hydration.
Yeah, exactly. And good old boy Harmy.
Thank you, Bob. I would love a hammock right now. Those high-proof whiskeys have got me mellow.
Well, could be what we put in those whiskeys, but I'm just going to... Yeah.
And there's a big saran wrap machine here. I'm in for trouble.
A little bit of roof and all and some saran wrap and some heavy weights and a canal behind my house. You know, it's just an interesting day's entertainment here in Florida.
I am training for jello wrestling.
Bob pleads the fifth.
Yeah.
Okay.
Alligators got to eat. So, our sip segments are all about wine, distilled spirits, tea, coffee, pretty much anything you can sip on. And here are the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. From Waterford, we have the Waterford Ballybunnan Irish Single Malt Whiskey, Edition 1.1. We have the Waterford Finniscourt Irish Single Malt Whiskey, Edition 1.1. Fortuna Kentucky Straight Bourbon, Angel's Envy Cask Strength, the 2022 release. Old Fitzgerald Bottled and Bond, the Fall 2022 release. Parker's Heritage Collection, the 2022 release. Heaven Hill Heritage Collection, 20-year corn whiskey. And from Abe Smith Bowman, their cast strength batch number 2. So let's go to Justin and have him tell us about our sips ratings.
Must we?
Yes. So today...
That's a little creepy. That sounds like a guy in a van with no windows.
It's Ronald Reagan. You're close.
No.
No. Nope.
No.
Nope.
Not even in the same stratosphere. Right.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Oh, my God.
I'm telling you, it sounds like the guy that drives the van that says free candy.
Free candy.
Mm-hmm.
Two sips. Nice. But what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
Three sips. Interesting.
That already creeped me out. Just that.
What was this again?
Interesting.
You remember Buffalo Bill from Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah. It puts the lotion on its skin or else gets the hose
finish
again.
Finish up like that. That would be less creepy. Yeah.
Four sips.
Slightly.
Well, let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
That's classified.
It's just going right down the tubes.
Yeah.
Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
I think I just threw up in my mouth.
Well, we just lost.
I feel like he should have ended that with mommy.
Yeah. It's just, oh, Lord, have mercy. Where's bedtime for Bonzo when you need it?
Stop looking for sound effects. Bob, why don't you tell us about the first whiskey?
I'm not sure if I can after that, but... Okay, so our first couple of whiskeys that we have today are from Waterford. Waterford Irish Whiskey is the latest project from Ruck Rainier. He was the man behind the rebirth of the Brooklady Distillery, which we love. Maybe not Brent, but normal people,
yes,
normal love. After the sale of Brooklady, he decided to focus his efforts on a new project, believing that the barley, and more specifically, the terroir in which it was grown, was the true essence of the whiskey. He wanted to make a whiskey that was singularly about the barley. So he purchased a recently shuttered brewery in Waterford, fully equipped with the best equipment in the state-of-the-art hydro mill. And then he purchased the old stills from Brooklady, brought those over, had them refit at Forsyth and Speyside and installed at Waterford and set about realizing his dream. So this is terroir-driven whiskey made from barley from individual Irish farms with no coloring, no chill filtration, no finishes, no nothing. So each bottle of Waterford bears a unique code. If you roll it over, it has a little QR code on it. And if you scan that, it gives you absolutely to the most minute detail about the farm, its location, who the owners are, how long they've owned it, the soil types, how much sun it gets, how much rain it got, when they planted, when they harvested. I mean, literally just hundreds of data points. It even has a thing you can press a button and listen to sounds in the field, like hear the birds chirping and everything. So we've done Waterford before. I think we did four of them in one show, and it was pretty remarkable how they all tasted different, considering they're all come from the same place. The only difference is the farm. So our first one is going to be the Waterford Ballyben Irish Single Malt Whiskey Edition 1.1. This one's 50% ABV, 100 proof. The first peated editions from books at Waterford. What'd you say?
Woo! Yeah.
Thank you, Brent.
So, yep, peaty.
He's so happy. The barley for this expression was grown by Tony Pender and the Ballybannon Farm. It was harvested August 8, 2017, distilled on September 17, 2018. It was peated to a phenol level of 47 parts per million using peat from Ballyteague County, Kildare. Aged for 3 years, 8 months, 7 days, and 30% used American oak, 21% new American oak, 30% French oak, and 11% VDN barrels, which are Vino de Naranja, which is an orange wine produced in Andalusia, Spain. It's white wine marinated with an orange peel. So on the color, it's a very pale straw. You get that smoke on the nose. You get that citrusy note, sort of like Seville oranges and lime, or limes, Seville oranges and lemons.
I get lemon peel. Orange and lemon peel.
You're just contrary.
And on the palate, it's got a sweetness up front. It's orange blossom honey, just a little bit of that wispy smoke. It's not overpowering. It's more smoky than peaty. And lemon peel, lemon peel, lemon peel, lemon peel. The citrus on this thing is huge. It's got a lovely sweetness to it. It's got a nice finish. I'm digging this one. Let's talk to Brent because I know he'll hate it. So okay. He hates anything smoky.
Well, when you have a smoky peaty, you know, automatically you think of that burnt rubber and stuff. But this is not like that at all. This is, they've really done a great job. It's the smokiness that is a nice smokiness. Mm. And they blends very well with the orange and the lemon that you get with it. And overall, it makes it very nice. And that's why I don't understand why some of these other ones, why they have to go so far on their peat.
Because they can.
Because they can, huh?
Why isn't you eat the whole foot long when you know you don't need to eat the whole foot long? You know you're full at halfway, but you eat the whole thing anyway, right?
Because
you can. That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
Man,
so this is pleasant.
Yeah.
So when you hear Petey, Smokey, you know some, you know, I like Petey and Smokey in
what
in moderation like this.
I'm shocked how well the citrus goes with the smoke. I mean, they play really, really. I would have never thought that much orange and the smoke, but it plays really well together. Yeah. I'm really enjoying this.
And I was also going to say, I like the peaty smoky, you know, the smokiness on my barbecue more than I like it in my whiskeys. But
no, we can hook you up with that.
So. I hope so.
What do you think, Justin?
So usually when you drink Irish whiskey, it's double or triple distilled. This is non-chill filtered, and it is a refreshing change from the ordinary. I really enjoyed it. What'd you think, Harm?
Still going to be triple distilled.
Yeah, has nothing to do with that.
Dope. Irish whiskey is triple distilled. Straw color. I got a little bit of hay on the nose. Medium peat.
Hey.
Orange and lemon peel, definitely. And I got toasted cumin. Toasted cumin is the spice I'm getting. Smoky orange on the palate. A little creaminess, and then the cumin and the fruit coming out.
I think the toasted cumin's left over from your mom's cooking last night. I didn't get any cumin on this.
I'll give him that one. Yeah. I definitely get it.
The cumin's there, dude. I ate American food last night.
Yeah, it's got a toastiness to it. It wasn't nutty. I was trying to place it. I'll give him that one.
It's toasted cumin. It finishes medium with good smoke and spice, and I really enjoyed this. I was surprised.
Yeah.
I generally don't drink Irish whiskey. And I generally, the few Irish whiskeys I do that like that are peated are much more peated than this. This is a very good balance. I was quite surprised.
Anybody else got anything else to say? You just got quiet all at the same time.
Well, you know.
That blew their minds with the toast and cumin.
Well, I wanted to clarify. You mentioned the stills being installed in Speyside. Are they in Speyside or are they in Ireland?
No, they were refit at Forsyth's in Speyside.
Forsyth is the people who did the refitting.
They're the ones who build the stills, so but it was rebuilt
in,
there.
But they're back in Ireland.
Yeah.
And Brocklady's in Islay.
Yep.
So they sent the stills from the old stills from Islay to
Ireland. They refit them there. They sent them to Waterford. Yeah. One place to the other place.
Oh, no. How did you graduate med school, man? What's going on?
I cheated.
Did a lot of drugs.
A good Irish whiskey.
All right, well, we're going to be rating the Waterford Ballybannon Irish Single Malt Whiskey, Edition 1.1, a well-deserved three sips.
Interesting.
So let's move on to our next one. We're going to have Justin tell us about that one when we get back. And I'm going to drink some more of this one.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the line of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we're discussing some whiskeys from Waterford. So we're going to have Justin tell us about our next one.
So our next whiskey is Waterford Fenniscourt Irish Single Malt Whiskey, Edition 1.1. It's 50% alcohol by volume or 100 proof. The second peated editions from the folks at Waterford, the barley for this expression was grown by Gare Byrne on the Fenniscourt. Harvested on August 10th, 2017 and distilled on September 10th, 2018, the malt was peated to a phenol level of 38 parts per million using peat from Ballyteague, County Kildare, aged 3 years, 8 months, and 5 days, and 33% used American oak, 18% new American oak, 20% French oak, and 29% VDN barrels, which is Vino de Naranja, an orange wine produced in Andalusia, Spain. White wine macerated with orange peel.
That's exactly what Bob said last time.
Mm-hmm.
So on this one, it's creamier. It's got an orange zest, creamier than the first Waterford. I got a heavy orange on the palate. I got cream. I got barley on the finish. Nice and sweet, medium length. What did you think, Maury?
I think I agree with you. I think you hit the nail on the head, and I'm shocked that you had so many words today. I'm thrilled.
I wrote them down for him.
It's because they were written.
Yeah. But I can't argue with a single one. I think you nailed it.
Brent? Yeah. This one, to me, you know, last time we had four different expressions, and they were all different. This time we have two expressions, and they are so similar.
Similar.
Except for this one, I think, is a little bit creamier, and this one has a little bit of white pepper on it that goes with it. So,
oh, and the smoke is definitely.
Yeah, the smoke was down on it.
From 47 parts per million down to 38 parts per million. I wouldn't think there would be that big a difference. But
I don't care about the measurement. There is a vast difference in the smokiness between these two. Vast.
So you're saying the subjective.
What are you? I mean, it's hard not to compare the two because they're next to each. So it's but they're so similar. Mm-hmm. They're so similar that you know, if you didn't know it, you could almost be tasting the other one a little bit.
Well,
you know?
That's the point that they're trying to do. They want you to compare one release to another release because what you got to remember is, I mean, in this case, the peat levels varied, but other than that. And all of their whiskeys, the only thing that varies is where the barley's grown.
Yeah.
You know, everything else is exactly the same. It's just where the barley's grown. So you're getting the differences.
Have this one with a really good gumbo.
Yeah.
This is my pairing recommendation. I don't know about you guys, but I did not enjoy this one as much as the first one. It's not because there's less peat. I felt like it had a little funkiness to it. I got a lot more orange than the first one. I got a little bit of pear and apple as well. But the smoke was kind of weird, had a weird funk to it. It's just it's not off-putting. It's just different.
That's why you got to have with okra and some crawfish.
I definitely enjoyed this one. It was, like I said, for me, it was vastly different.
Okra, crawfish, and the smoke.
Yeah, agreed.
But this one was sweeter. I don't know if it's because the smoke was lower and the sweetness came out more. But this one was definitely sweeter. This was definitely creamier. All in all, a very enjoyable whiskey. So. We're going to be rating the Waterford Fennis Court Irish Single Malt Whiskey Edition 1.1. Well-deserved. Three sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to go to Brent and have him tell us about our next whiskey.
Thanks, Bob. The next whiskey is Fortuna Kentucky Straight Bourbon, 51% ABV, 102 proof, 6 years old. So at the height of America's original whiskey boom of the late 19th century, a German immigrant named Phil Hahnbach crafted a brand called Fortuna. That helped define the early days of the modern bourbon industry. Hahnbach left a lasting mark on the whiskey trade, having found great success in Louisville, Kentucky. He strived to delight customers far and wide by sharing some of the taste of good fortune provided to his family. The whiskey in the original Fortuna brand was produced for Hahnbach by the Stitzel brothers at the old Glencoe Distillery. The brand suffered the unfortunate fate of many bourbon brands and went out of production over 50 years ago before being revived by three partners, Pablo Moix, Peter Nowalski, who founded the Rare Character in 2021, and Andrew Andy Shapira, son of Heaven Hill's president Max Shapira. Each batch of the new Fortuna bourbon is made from batches of 6 to 12 barrels of Kentucky Straight Bourbon, aged a minimum of 6 years. So the first thing I want to say is that when the Kentucky Straight Bourbon whiskey, you always have these same kind of notes that you're used to of the vanilla, the caramel, the cherries, the leather, the wood. And this one didn't have that, especially on the nose.
I get a little bit of cherry.
A little bit of cherry, but you don't get all those typical you don't get all those typical ones. And on the palate, I got I got like a candied almond. It was like a marshmallow nougat. I got some cinnamon.
Marzipan.
Some cinnamon. Yeah, okay. You guys can say marzipan. I'll try to describe it individually.
They can sell it, but they can say it, but they can't spell it.
Right. I can't spell it either, so.
It's got a lot of letters in it.
Right. Armadillo, that's
what
I can say.
But it doesn't really, if you poured this in a glass and didn't say what the spirit was.
I would not pick it out
as a bourbon.
I would not pick it out as a bourbon.
Thank you.
I would not pick it out. It's just not your typical, doesn't have your typical bourbon notes, your typical bourbon nose.
Could be a cordial palate. Yeah, it's really,
you know, so I'm a little bit, it's not like it's bad though. I mean, it's a nice.
It's lighter than you would normally expect.
Yeah, it's a nice little sipper, but it's different than your normal bourbon. Justin?
On the nose, I got an egg cream. Classic egg cream drink from New York City. On the palate, I got the marzipan.
I don't know where you got that from.
Usually Rachel's on 42nd.
You were probably dreaming about it last night.
And then after the marzipan, I got orange cream. And I would agree with everyone that is not a typical bourbon profile in any way.
Nobody mentioned flowers. I'm getting floral notes. And on the palate, Jordan almonds, marzipan, and violets.
Well, I think that orange cream that Justin was saying is kind of like the flowery note that you have a little bit.
He said egg cream, not orange cream.
Egg cream.
No, yes. But on the palate, you said orange cream.
I meant egg cream.
Oh, see that?
I might have said orange cream.
I'm getting violets.
I'm drunk.
Taste it again. There's violets. That.
Violets?
Yeah.
Violet is turning violet.
I'm telling you. It's creamy marzipan and violets.
Well, I mean, it smells like bourbon to me. You're not fooling
no, you're
me
wrong.
As to what it is.
We all say it doesn't smell like bourbon.
Well, you guys are idiots.
Yeah, we agree. We agree with that statement.
It doesn't smell like bourbon.
But we are all right.
It smells like bourbon to me, but I mean, you know, I'm getting
like
the
whiskey. You're smelling the wrong glass.
It's whiskey.
I'm getting bourbon. I'm getting the vanilla in there. I'm getting, you know, a good bit of the flowers.
There's so much floral note to this. I almost thought it was a scotch.
It's like a bottle of perfume.
I'm getting like burnt brown sugar. The one thing that I'm getting is the one thing that he picked up on as well is that candy corn.
It's freaking candied violets and candy corn.
Yeah, it's definitely candy corn on the nose. And on the palate, it's marzipan, 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 marshmallow, nougat. You know, it's everything.
Some more marzipan.
Every fluffy white confection that you can come up with.
No, I think this was a contentious whiskey for us.
How many bourbons are you saying that you have the marzipan
or marshmallow?
You don't. Or marshmallow. That's what I'm saying. That's why we're saying that this one is different. This one is different than what you would normally get.
I've tasted marzipan. I could, sure.
A little bit.
I'm not going to say marzipan cut bomb. Bob, but I think he's just wrong.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm sitting next to him and I have a knife. I'm just saying. Well, we're going to
never
be rating,
bring a knife to a gunfight.
We're going
to
be rating.
I would not shoot him over this. I would cut him though.
Yeah, you in your dreams. We're going to be rating the Fortuna Kentucky Straight Bourbon 3 sips.
Interesting.
Interesting is the word for it.
So let's. It's interesting as hell.
You know, right. I mean, it's interesting is the word that we needed for that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure out. What I'm trying to figure out is, you know, why you're getting that flavor profile. You know, what was different?
Yeah.
Was it the location of the barrels? Was it the barrels themselves?
Was it the water? Was it the... Was it... Right. It's... So, okay, well...
Let's go on to our next one. We're going to have Maury tell us about that one.
Well, thank you, Bob. Angel's Envy was the creation of the late Lincoln Henderson, former master distiller for Brown-Forman and inaugural member of the Bourbon Hall of Fame. Lincoln was a pioneer in the premium spirits category and was the man behind such iconic brands as Woodford Reserve and Gentleman Jack. During the process of making the regular Angel's Envy, they would occasionally come across a few barrels that were exceptionally good, in which they decided to hold on to for future limited release. This became the inaugural release of Angel's Envy Cask Strength in 2012. Now, a regular annual release, whiskey fans line up outside of the downtown Louisville distillery every fall in hopes of securing just one bottle. So this next whiskey is the Angel's Envy Cask Strength 2022, coming in at 59.5% ABV or 119 proof. It has a beautiful mahogany to burnt copper color. On the nose, leather, brown sugar, caramel, creme brulee, marshmallow, and a hint of green apple and citrus. On the palate, classic caramel, brown sugar, a creamy, beautiful mouthfeel filled with vanilla, toasted oak, and a hint of black pepper. The finish is long. The whiskey is delicious. It's beautiful. It's mouth coating. I think it's a perennial favorite of mine. I think it's a perennial favorite of many of the guys around this table. That's become harder and harder to get hold of, but nonetheless, always a delicious whiskey. Again, I can't say enough good things about this whiskey. The 2022 does not disappoint. Harm?
I'm sorry. Everything you said was right. What should I say? You know, the only thing is, I didn't get green apple at first, except with air. It was just to me like it was apples.
It took a little while. It didn't appear initially.
It's like when you taste it, it comes out as green apple because of the acidity. But I didn't get that acidity in the nose. Apples and caramel, definitely. The creamy mouthfeel, the black pepper on the finish. I mean, it was just a bit woody for me on the finish. But other than that, it's a beautiful whiskey.
That's what she said.
Right?
Yeah. I've got all of them from 2012 to this. I don't have this year's, this last year's. But, you know, going back on some of them, this one I think is one of my, while it's really good.
It's not your favorite.
Not my favorite. Right. You know, not my favorite. And I would have to put it towards the bottom of the list of the ones I prefer. Wow. And this one's got a little bit. The best way to describe it is like I get like an over pepper. And then a dryness to it that comes about out.
It's
about
just a little, it's a little too woody.
Yeah, from the woodiness. So, but it's still very enjoyable, you know. So, Justin?
Sadly or happily, I just pretty much have to agree with Brent. Very good whiskey, but not as good as the other Angel's Envies that I've had, which are normally just perfect. This is just very good.
Oh, that ice cask.
You wouldn't kick her out of bed.
No.
No.
That's not saying much coming from me.
His threshold is fairly low.
Last year,
guys are dumber than a box of hair.
Yeah. Well, last year they came out with the ice cask, right?
I love that.
That was amazing, you know. And if you have to compare that and this one, it's they're two different complete animals, you know.
I'm not going to say it's my favorite one. What I am going to tell you is this is different from pretty much most all of the others we've had.
True.
Right.
Which I do find interesting. Having one, you know, one that's off of the regular profile of, say, last year and the year before. So that I kind of dig.
See, the nose is so promising, but the palate doesn't match up. And that's,
I kind of dig the woodiness of it. You know, it's,
I agree. There's nothing wrong with it.
It's...
Japanese would love
it. Oh, yeah, I was going to say I could sell a boatload of this in Japan. Oh, my God.
That's what's in the glass.
Exactly. We sell it all.
What's in the glass? This would be $2,000 a bottle in Japan. Yeah, good Lord.
But what's in the glass is fantastic. You're just comparing it to something that was in your glass last year.
Yeah.
It's true.
So why do you say that about the Japanese?
They do.
Well, they love wooded whiskeys?
Yeah, they do.
They do.
A little more overly oaked, a little more extracted, yeah. I mean, that's in the 70s and the 80s. That's where all the older bourbon was going because that was just the palate. So,
right.
Well, we're going to be rating the Angel's Envy Cask Strength 2022. Well-deserved four sips.
That's classified.
So let's go to our next one, and we're going to ask Mr. Happy to tell us about that one.
Oh, why, thank you, Bob. This is good old boy Mr. Happy. Old Fitzgerald Bottle and Bond, fall 2022 release, 50% ABV, 100 proof, is 19 years old.
Good luck finding it.
Mm-hmm. Good luck finding this because the secondary
as he's getting to a 19-year-old in his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he's been close barely before. Legal. That's why he spent some time in the slammer.
Yeah, that's why he's not allowed near schools.
Right.
This is the 10th release of Old Fitzgerald and the oldest expression to date on this line. Made from barrels produced in September 2003, pulled from across three floors of Rickhouse F, and one floor of Rickhouse X at Heaven Hill. The main distillery campus. This is a beautiful burnished copper. The nose, candied orange peel, oak, vanilla, oak spices, and herbs. And what else did you guys get?
I got a clean, like a clean wood oak, like a clean oak.
Not freshly sawn, but